Well, good morning, everyone. If I haven't met you, I'm Pastor Noel. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'd like to pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come to you and call you Father. And my prayer is that you would fill us with your Spirit today and help us grow in what that actually means for our own prayer life, because I know that that will make a huge difference. So Holy Spirit, come and affirm in us that through Christ, we're God's children, and we call your Father our Father too. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Dan said, we do begin a new series today called Prayer, Growing Deeper with God. And the question we're looking at this morning is, why pray? Why put the time and effort into praying to God? Is prayer simply to get our all-powerful God to do something that we are powerless to change? You know, give us some help, God. As I thought about this, it reminded me of an old story I can remember about the time when a strip club opened up in the main street of a country town, and the local church was outraged they would plonk this thing right in the main street, and they organised an all-night prayer meeting. The members asked God to burn the strip club down, and within a few minutes, suddenly lightning came out of the sky, hit the strip club, and it burnt to the ground. Well, the owner sued the church, which denied responsibility. After hearing both sides in court, the judge said, "It seems that wherever the guilt may lay, the strip club owner believes in prayer while the church doesn't." Well, while the people of the church may have appeared not to believe in prayer, they were obviously did, because they had an all-night prayer meeting. I think what they didn't believe in was pay. They didn't want to pay for the rebuilding of this club. But prayer is powerful. What prayer can do, God can do. And prayer is our greatest resource. And yet, if we're honest as Christians, isn't it perhaps our greatest failing at times, that we don't pray more? And I thought about this, and I thought, well, why is it we pray? And I wondered if our failure in our prayer life is actually connected to the reason we're praying, the reason we believe in our heart while we're praying. I thought, yeah, that might influence why we pray or don't pray and have a direct bearing on it. I mean, if our reason for praying is to get God to fix something up, whether it's in us, in our lives, or in someone else's life we love and care for, when he doesn't do it, we go, oh, okay, that didn't work. Why bother? I won't keep praying. Right? And if the same belief's there, and I've seen it operate the other way, where, you know, people, you know, dive into prayer when they're faced with this incredible crisis in their life. It might be a health crisis, a relationship breakdown, a retrenchment from work, a financial thing. And they pray like crazy, and then when the crisis passes, they stop praying. And by their actions, they're almost saying, well, now that God's done what I want him to do, I don't need to pray anymore. Now, I suspect there'll be many of you here go, oh, that's not a very good attitude towards prayer, and, you know, that doesn't sit right. Well, that's a good thing. But if we're really honest about how often we pray, our pattern of prayer, when it spikes and when it dips, don't we see a bit of that at work in us, where it seems to suggest we're more about getting God to sort something out, and that's when we pray the most? Prayer certainly connects us with the incredible power of God. There is testimony after testimony of incredible things God has done when people have prayed. There's no denying that. But the primary purpose of prayer, I'm going to put to you today, is not about getting God's help to fix things that are wrong in us or in our lives or in other people's lives. The primary purpose of prayer is all about connecting with God, to know him more deeply. And as a result of knowing God more fully, you will actually know yourself even better. At its core, prayer is our personal response of communication to the knowledge of God. Which begs the question, if prayer is indeed our personal response to the knowledge of God, then what we know about God and the accuracy of that knowledge That's going to have a profound effect on the way we pray and how often we pray and what we pray for. So if we understand God's love to mean that God wants to give me an easy life and he wants to give me the best this world can offer, our approach to God's going to be a bit like a vending machine. Put the prayer in and out pops the answer. What happens when the vending machine doesn't work? We give it a kick and walk away. Give up on it. Don't know how you go kicking God, but you get the picture. Or if we have this notion that, yeah, God's up there, but you got to keep him happy. You got to please him. And so asking him for prayer is a bit like maybe an earthly parent where you got to be in their good books if you're going to ask for something big. And so if that's the way we look at God, we're always going to be uncertain about whether he's answering our prayer. And, you know, if we've actually had a really rotten 3 or 4 days where we haven't been a real nice person, we go, nah, can't ask for that one because I'm not in God's good books. Maybe when I can string a few good days together that I can hold up to God, then I'll go ask him for this big thing. I don't know, but how many of you have actually succeeded in getting a few good days strung together that you could hold up to God and impress him with? Is it any wonder if we kind of have that belief about God, we grovel and kind of think, oh, well, I've prayed it. Maybe or maybe not. Who knows? What we believe about God impacts the way we pray and the way we feel about it. And my point is, the clearer our understanding of who God is, I think the better our prayers. Not that we get graded for our prayers. Please don't. I'm just saying I think we pray better when we understand God more fully. And what you know and what you and I know about God, well, it comes through his words in the Bible, and specifically the words that tell us about the good news message of Jesus. Author and pastor Timothy Keller writes this. He says, in the Bible, God's living word, we can hear God speaking to us and we respond in prayer, though we should not call this simply response. Through the word and spirit, prayer becomes answering God a full conversation. So Keller sees prayer as a completing a full conversation with God, because a little later he writes this. He says, prayer is continuing a conversation that God has started. What an amazing phrase. We couldn't even entertain prayer if God hadn't first spoken to us. And that God has started through his word and his grace, which eventually becomes a full encounter with him. So if prayer is a conversation that leads to a full encounter of God, encountering God in all his fullness, the purpose of prayer has to be about knowing God more fully and getting to know what he's like and who he is and what that means for you and me. And I think the things we then ask for in prayer will come out of our understanding of who God is. And that means the power of our prayers doesn't come so much from how hard we persist at it or the way we go about praying, but rather the power comes out of our knowledge and of God and what we believe him to be. And the Lord's Prayer is a great example of a prayer that flows out of the knowledge of God. Why? Because Jesus actually begins with a couple of words that clarify our knowledge about God. So let's read about, again, what we heard in our Bible reading. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He, that's Jesus, said to them, when you pray, say, Father. In Matthew's account, Jesus says, pray, our Father in heaven. Which is the wording we use in our Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Now the problem is, we say that every week here in church. You can become so familiar with it that you can actually miss what incredible things Jesus is teaching us through the wording of the Lord's Prayer and the ordering of those words. Some really significant stuff is happening here. And by teaching us to begin our prayers with the words, our Father in heaven, Jesus is telling us that we are to begin our prayers by what? Reminding ourselves of who God is to us. Because what are we saying when we start our prayers, our Father in heaven? We're saying God's our Father. And why is that important? It's important because how we pray will flow out of what we know about God. And my point that I'm simply making today is knowing that God is our Father in heaven is the most important thing you are to know and remember every time you pray. because it will change everything. So what are we saying when we pray our Father in heaven? Well, I could talk all day on that, but I've tried to keep it to two broad areas because there's different ways. But the first is we relate to God as family. By telling us to begin our prayers in the words, Our Father in heaven, Jesus is making it very clear what kind of relationship do we have with God when we speak to him in prayer. It's one of Father, family. It's a conversation like that. Richard Cokin, in his book, Our Father, Enjoying God in Prayer, writes, the original Aramaic word for father, which is Abba, not the group, but the Hebrew word for father, Abba, and I've lost my spot, was a term of respectful intimacy used in Jewish families. More respectful than daddy, but more intimate than father. Something like we would say dad. And Jesus tells us to begin our prayers by addressing the transcendent creator, omnipotent ruler and terrifying judge of the cosmos as dad. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? Cokin goes on and says, well, this is what Jesus wants us to understand, the extraordinary relationship we have as Christians with God to whom we pray. We are God's adopted children. We are now welcome to approach him as our Heavenly Father with affectionate and confident intimacy. Jesus just goes, well, you're going to be God's children, so I'm going to teach you to pray like I pray because I'm a child myself. I'm his son. That's simply what Jesus is doing. When Jesus teaches us to pray as children of the living God, we're not only given an incredible privilege, because we don't just sort of treat God like a brother. We do it because we are the children. So we're given an amazing position. That is, we're a child of God. And that leads me to my next point. Because if we're a child of God, what does that mean for us when we pray our Father in heaven? Off the bat, it means God loves and accepts us as though we were Jesus. Jesus invites us to pray as children of God because that is exactly what we are in him because of his death, resurrection, and the new life the Holy Spirit has born in us. And John 1 says, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. And the him is Jesus, that's talking about here. Through Jesus, God adopts you as his very own child. And that means we are accepted together with Jesus into God's family. And we get to share in the fullness of the privileges and the positions and the blessings that Jesus himself gets as a member of God's family. Now, on an intellectual level, I think we as humans can get the adoption concept because we know that parents adopt children and when it works well, they love those children as their very own. But sometimes adopted children, particularly when there's biological children in the family, can wonder if these parents that have adopted them will love them actually as much as their own biological children. And, you know, they can question that. And the parents can go blue in the face telling them, we do. And they still struggle with it. Well, human adopted children wrestle with it. How much more do we wrestle with it when we think that we're actually given the same status before God as Jesus? I mean, how much more lovable is Jesus than me? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Thanks, Rolly, for confirming that. It is. And we all look in the mirror and go, how can God love what I see in me as much as he loves Jesus? We can't get our heads around it. It's actually too hard to almost understand. God knows that. And that is why God sent us the Holy Spirit. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to work in us to help us even begin to see God as our Father and work out what on earth that means for our lives in its ups and downs, that God loves us and accepts us as much as he loves his very own Son, Jesus. And Romans 8 tells us that you receive the spirit of sonship. By sonship there, it's focusing us on Jesus the Son. That's who we're connected into God's family. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So as we get that spirit of sonship, we get the confidence to say, Almighty God created this world. My Father in heaven. Dad. That's what the Spirit does in us. Helps us call this Almighty God Dad. And the health and vitality of our prayer life will be directly linked to our heartfelt understanding and acceptance of what it means to be a child of God. I reckon the more we dig into that, the greater our prayer life will flourish. And just some things of what it means to be a child of God, and there's a whole lot more, and I've missed out some, but these are the ones that came to mind real quickly. To be a child of God, God loves me as much as he loves his own son, Jesus. I've said that. God accepts me as he accepts Jesus. I have an eternal inheritance in heaven with Jesus. That's a family privilege because of position. To be a child of God means I have God's constant attention and he wants what's best for me. To be a child of God means the one I address as Father in heaven, he is the Almighty God. He's greater than anyone or anything I'm currently facing in my life. And as my Father, he's got it covered. Imagine the confidence that gives us, knowing God's on the problem for us. So we're going to leave that list sit there, and I want you to reflect on that. How does the reality of that impact the way we pray? If you reminded yourself of these things each time you prayed, what would change? Would it change the way you prayed? I think it would. As you sat down to pray, instead of charging into your prayer list asking God to do this, this, this and this and give you this, this and this, and you started by saying, Father in heaven, and then reflected on what that meant for you, all those things, you'd go, my gosh, how can this be so? How can God love me this much? How can God love me as much as he loves Jesus? But his word tells me, the Spirit's testifying in my heart that he's doing that. I think a natural response would be, God, you're amazing. I just thank you for what you've done for me in Jesus. You are awesome. You're good. That's called praise. And when Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be your name, that's what he was on about. And then I think another response, as we think about that, is that God's done all this for you while you were still a sinner. God didn't pick you out to adopt you because you were being particularly cute that day and nice. He picked you on your worst day. And he sent Jesus to die for you. And you think, gosh, if God can do that, what else does he want to do in my life and in this world? Wow, I need to just surrender and let God do it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. You see how that response flows out of knowing that we're a child of God? Then when we move in and pray for our daily bread, we do it from the confidence that we're God's child, that he'll provide what we need. When we ask him to forgive our sins, we do it from the confidence that actually, even as much as I've messed up, I'm still a child of God. I'm doing it from the loved child of God position, not hoping you'll forgive me so I get restored. No, I'm already in the family. Makes a huge difference. And the second question I want to talk about is, if we reminded ourselves each time you prayed what it meant to be a child of God, how would that change the way you feel after you pray? Well, it's a bit of a silly question, I suppose, in one sense. How you feel would depend on what you brought to God in prayer beforehand. But I think if you just reminded yourself that you were loved by God and accepted, that's going to grow a greater sense of assurance of God's love and a strong sense of security in that. That could be one thing. The other thing is when you pray, you could feel less burdened at the end, whether it was you now know God's on that problem or you've come to him with your sin and you've asked him to forgive you, you know you're his loved child and you feel that weight lift off of you. And then I think we ought to feel a sense of peace and calm in the assurance that as God's child, whatever big thing we might be facing, God's on it. He's our loving Heavenly Father. We can leave it in his hands. So how you feel in a positive sense could vary. One way I think that you can tell if you've kind of just glossed over quickly whether what it means to be a child of God, what it means that you're praying to your Father in heaven, is that if you began your prayer time all worried and anxious, and you say amen and you're still all worried and anxious, I don't think you've let it sit. You haven't allowed what it means to be a child of God and that God's your Father touch you at a core. Because if your prayer time centres you back on the reality that God is your Father in heaven and you are his dearly loved child, you can confidently hand over whatever it is worrying you, and knowing that whatever happens, God's on it, and nothing's going to change God's love for you and your position in his family. That's the most important thing we can have in this life. Nothing can take that away from you. And that's what it means when we call the Almighty God, the creator of this universe, Dad, our Father in heaven. The more we understand who God is, the better we'll pray. And when the basis of our prayer life shifts from an attempt to get God to do what we want him to do to simply get God, that is, get to know more about God and what it means for us to call him Father, I feel we will discover a fresh desire and passion to pray. And not just for God to change circumstances, but for God to change us, to change our perspective, to see them as a child of God, dearly loved by him, who is secure in his love and promises. The problem is we don't always really believe what we are and what we have as a child of God. And I say that because I'm as guilty as you. And I think if we did, we'd pray a whole lot more and we'd feel a whole lot different at the end of our prayer time. But all I can share is that God has been working on me about this over the last year and a half, about what it means to be a child of God. I've been very influenced by Timothy Keller. As you can see, I quote from him all the time. And I can just say I haven't arrived, but I get glimpses of what it does. And I try to start my prayer times with, God, my Father in heaven, loving God, Father in heaven, and just sit with and remind myself, what does that mean that I'm God's my Father, and sort of rattle off some of these things in my head. And all I can say is it does change the way I pray and the way I feel, and particularly on those days I'm not feeling very connected to God. And that happens especially with my health and tiredness, the days I just don't even feel God out there. But in my head I know it's true, to remind me that he loves me, I'm his child, and regardless of how I feel about things, God still feels the same way about me. It changes things. It can change me. And I don't always get it right, but I can attest to you, it's powerful. And so if I could urge you to do one thing from today's message, it would be that when you pray, how about intentionally praying, beginning your prayers by saying, my Father in heaven, or Father in heaven, loving Father in heaven, but remind yourself of Father. And before you charge into the next phrase asking him to do something, spend some time reminding yourself of what that means, that you're his child. That list is there. Take that home, put that in your Bible. You might have other things that you're aware of. There's a whole lot more. And then even spend some time thanking God as you're stirred by the Spirit. Wow, God, you love me as much as Jesus. Thank you. And time praising him. And if you think about the Lord's Prayer and say, yeah, actually, then your kingdom come, your will be done, of surrendering to God, then move into the rest of your prayer time and it will change it. You'll be surprised how your prayer life will change, I think, in passion and also in your desire to engage with our loving Heavenly Father way more often.